God in prayer this morning. Father, we are so grateful for all that you've done for us, Lord. And Jesus, as we've come to gather this morning, a cold morning, Lord, I just pray that you would just bless each and every one that have come through the doors today. You know the various needs that are in the body this morning, Lord. You know that there are those a part of our family that are in mourning and in pain, Lord, and we all as a body are with them in that, Lord. So this morning we just want to lift up the Wubs family, Lord Jesus. We pray that you would just minister your holy comfort and your holy peace to them. And God, we thank you for the promises, Lord, that though we grieve, we're not without a people of hope, Lord. We have hope in Jesus, Lord, and we're so grateful for how you saved us and redeemed us and gave us eternal life, Lord. And that when we look to you, Lord Jesus, in the midst of trial, in the midst of suffering, Lord, we know that we can have peace. So, Father, I pray that there would be peace that would rain down in your house this morning over the Wubs family, Lord. And Jesus, we want to celebrate you. We want to celebrate you and all that you've accomplished, all that you've done for us. And though we've lost a friend, a son and a brother, Lord, we're grateful that he's secure in your arms today. And Jesus, I pray that wherever we are this morning in our own hearts, that we would draw near to you, that we would look to you, that Father, that we would experience the loving embrace of the Father. As Rob is right now experiencing that loving embrace, that we would too experience that embrace this morning. That your presence would be around us and that you'd whisper your love to us. And that God, as we move into a time of worship, that Jesus, all the distractions, the thoughts of the world, the things that try to just pull us away from our focus on you, that you'd help just those things by your presence to just melt away. And that we would be able to look to you and just dwell on your beauty this morning. So Father, I pray that this service, everything would be about you, that we would lift you up, that your name would be glorified this morning, and that our hearts would be filled with your mighty presence. Jesus, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way this morning. We pray all these things in your mighty and beautiful name. The name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. You set me
Pastor, you have your Bibles, if you could look to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 3, felt led of the Lord that this was going to be something I was going to be sharing. And then Joshua rose early in the morning, and he and all of the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came unto Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed over. And at the end of 3 days, the officers went throughout the midst of the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God with the Levitical priests carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. However, there shall be between you a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have never went this way before. You ever been somewhere where you just haven't been here before? Amen. Then Joshua said unto the people, consecrate yourselves, or King James, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wondrous things amongst you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and cross over ahead of the people. So that they took up the ark of the covenant and went ahead of the people. Now the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of Israel, that they may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. You shall moreover command the priests who carry the ark of the covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. And Joshua said to the sons of Israel, come here and hear the word of the Lord, our God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is amongst you, and that he will assuredly depose from before you all of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Gigerzites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Before the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over ahead of you into the Jordan. Now then take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one each man of each tribe. And he shall come about then, and the son and the soles of the feet of the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth rest in the waters of Jordan. Then the water of Jordan will be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above will stand in one heap. So when the people set out from their tents to cross over Jordan with the priests carrying the ark of the covenant before the people, and when those who carry the ark came to Jordan, the river, and the feet of the priests carrying the ark were dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows at the banks of these days of harvest, the water which flowed down from above stood up and rose up in one heap, and great distance away from Adam, the city, that is beside Zarethan, and those which were flowing down toward the sea and toward the Arabia and the Salt Sea were completely cut off, so the people crossed opposite Jericho. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word of the Lord. We ask, O God, you give wisdom and grace to us as we discern your word today, and as we ask for your Holy Spirit to give guidance, and for the issues of life that we're struggling with and the things that we're presented with and the opportunities that we've been given, Lord, help us to cross over. Father God, help us not to stay in the wilderness, stay in the desert when there's an opportunity for us to move into something better. Lord, give us the grace. Lord, give us the wisdom. Lord, give us the endurance. Lord, give us the passion, Lord, to be able to enter into what you have for us, O God, so that we, Lord, would not lack any good thing. And that our journey would be made complete in you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Most of you, I'm sure, have been on a journey. A journey which had much anticipation in the destination. Whether it was some trip you were going to take, something that you had planned for years, or whatever it may have been. And there was a destination that you were excited about getting there. But then as you got closer to the destination, maybe even in the days before the destination, there was a nervousness about entering in, a wondering, how's it going to really be? Is it all that was cracked up to be? Is it going to be as good as I thought it would be? Is it going to be as good as the brochure says it is? Amen. Is it going to be as good as God said it would be? Is it going to be as good as the guys who went there ahead of us and came back with a report said it was going to be? Is it going to be as good as that? I don't know. I'm getting kind of nervous. Then there comes that time where you're actually ready to cross over into your destination. A graduation is like that, you know? There's times in our lives when you're graduating from university, college, or even high school, whatever it may be, and there's that nervousness about, you know, graduating. Marriage can be like that. Coming into that, wanting and so desiring. I remember one of our pastors, I baptized him. And him and his wife met in my first church, well, sort of the first church in Toronto, and he was praying. He got so nervous, leading up to that wedding day. I mean, he really wanted to get married, but he was so nervous about it. And he said to the pastor, the bishop that was doing the wedding, Bishop Reese, he said, "Oh, what if the Lord would come?" He says, I feel I've sinned. He says, "What's your sin?" He says, "I don't want Jesus to come for at least another 48 hours. Because he really wanted to experience that marriage. You know, the other thing, the destination is up there, but it's getting close, and some even might have get cold feet. It can be like retirement. It can also be like death. Something that is an inevitable, it's an inevitable event that is coming up that you know you got to get ready for, and it's a destination and you've been preparing for your life all for it, and there it is. A place that you've been waiting to get to, but the way is unfamiliar because, as it says in verse number five or four here, we've never been there before. I've heard about it. I've heard people talk about it. I may have been dreaming about it, but I've never been on this road before. That's what Joshua says to the children of Israel. We've been talking about it all our lives. In fact, there's been an entire generation of Israel that have been talking about this destination, but when they finally get there, it's a way that they've never been before. Maybe you're facing something in your life today that you've never faced before. It's a road that is unfamiliar to you. Others have taken it, yes. You've heard about it, yes. But in your particular life, you ain't never been there before. That's why we need GPS, amen? In this case, it's God's presence sustains. God's presence sustains. How do you think they've been living the last 40 years in the desert? It was God's presence sustains. It was the fire by night. It was the cloud by day. It was the presence. In fact, there was a point where Moses was making a deal with Almighty God, and God says, "Listen, you kids are just a bunch of brats, you know. I think you should just go ahead on your own." And Moses said, "No way. If your presence isn't with us, I'm not going." And so it's been the presence of God throughout the church ages that has led the church. If it doesn't have his presence, if God is not there, it doesn't mean anything. Amen? We've got to have the presence of God. We've got to be led by the presence of God. The presence of God led them to this place. It was God's presence sustains. And when we share the message of the gospel, our GPS becomes God's plan of salvation. But for us, it's God's presence sustains us. The presence leads us. They came to the place that God had ordained for them, the place that they were to cross over into the promised land. We stand at the beginning of a new year with an unknown ahead of us. It's a road that we've never been on before. I've never been in 2019 before. Anyone here? Any of you travel into the future, have a little machine in your basement, you go ahead of time and find out how it is, please let me know. So we can bet on races and stuff. Raise money for the church. No. You know, I've never been here before. You've never been here before. And so collectively we're coming to a place that we've never been before. And what do we do when we get there? What do we do when we get there? Here's what Joshua did to the children of Israel. We got to wait a little bit more. Wait for it. For 3 days, it says here at the beginning of Joshua chapter 3 that they came there, they lodged there at the edge of the river Jordan. They waited a little more time. There was something more that needed to be done. And God was saying, "You just hang in there, children. You just wait a little longer." 3 days, the children of Israel waited. They'd been waiting for 40 years. In fact, they'd been waiting for 400 years. So they may say this, "Why do we have to wait? There's the promised land, there's the river. It ain't that deep. We could do something, we could, you know, wade it, swim it, we could get our stuff through it somehow, maybe we could maybe build rafts, I don't know, but, you know, we can do it ourselves, we can do it in our own strength, We see the promised land. Let's just do it. Let's just get there. And Joshua says, no, we got to wait. Imagine being in a car ride with kids for 40 years and they keep saying, are we there yet? You ever been on a trip with kids? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? 40 years, are we there yet? Finally, we get to the place the children of Israel can see the land in front of them. And Joshua says, no, no, the Lord says, you got to just wait a little further. Because there's something you got to do. Anything great that God is going to do in your life is going to involve preparation. Anything great that God is going to do in the life of a nation, like the nation of Canada, God is going to require preparation. Anything great that God is going to do in the life of a church is going to involve preparation, waiting on Him. If you want to be ready for marriage, you better date. Better find someone, right? You better get to know somebody. There's preparation involved. You want to graduate from school, you better study. If you're going to get to that place. If you want to be ready for retirement, well, you should save a little something. If you want to be ready for death, you need to get right with God. There is preparation that needs to be done. If you want to enter into revival, the Bible says here, he says, he called the people, he says, to sanctify themselves. Verse number 5, Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, because tomorrow the Lord will do wondrous things amongst you. Today get ready, tomorrow experience. We all want to run into the experience, don't we? We just want to get that tingly feeling. We want to feel that River Jordan water, you know. Want to wade out into it, get washed downstream with the rest of the dingbats. But anyways, we want to do it our way, you know. We want to do it our way. We want to cross over at our timing, and we want to do it in our way. What does God say? No, you've got to wait a little while. Because, you see, I want to do it my way. I want you to get into that land, but I want you to get there my way. Because I got a plan for this thing. You wait and you'll see what God's going to do. If you sanctify yourselves, if you get ready, if you get your heart right, if you get prepared, he says, I'm going to do a better way. I know we got our ways, but God has a better way. God does not want us to cross over by ourselves. Imagine this tribe goes, and this tribe goes, and this tribe goes. Just mayhem, right? There's 12 tribes of Israel. One's running ahead, and the other one's back here, and whatever else. And, you know, what a mess. He says we're going to cross over, and we're going to cross over in order, and we're going to cross over together. So get yourself ready. Get your tribes ready. And the tribe that is next to you needs to get itself ready as much as you get yourself ready. And so if we're going to cross over into revival, if we're going to cross over into the promises of God, if we're going to cross over into the things that God has been preparing for His people, let's go together. That means not only do you need to pray for yourself to get sanctified, but if you think that the tribe next door is lagging behind, you should pray for the church next door. You should pray for the pastor down the street. You should pray for people that are around about you. It's not about you having a good old time and you experiencing the tingle of the Holy Spirit, but rather let's go together. Let's take as many as we can across the river, amen? And sometimes that means we have to prepare, we have to pray, we have to seek the Lord, not just for ourselves, but for those around us, people we may don't even like. Lord. I thought I could just, you know, when you get to the edge of Jordan and there's a family that's, imagine there's just a family that's in this tribe of yours that you're traveling with, and you just say, well, here's my chance. Let's get across Jordan. Let's leave them in the wilderness. Let's leave them behind. They don't deserve to enter into the promised land. Let's leave that tribe behind or that family behind. No, it was let's get ready because we're all going. Verse 5, it says, on the edge of entering into God's promise, we need to make room for Him to work. He says, I'm going to do something. You're going to do something. You're going to wait. You're going to get ready. It's not that we're doing nothing. You're going to seek the Lord. You're going to sanctify yourselves. You're going to get your people ready. You're going to get in order. You're going to do something. But I'm going to do something. And the second point I had is go after it. Verse number 3, he said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, he says, go after it. Now, there's two ways that you can express that phrase, go after it, or go for it. I saw a pretty girl in grade 11, youth group. I went for her. I went after her. Here she is. You know? I waited for her, then I went after her, amen? But, there is a sense in which you want to experience God's blessings, you do need to get off your rear end and go after it, amen? I wouldn't be married today if I didn't ask her to go to, what was that restaurant? Noonan's Restaurant in Perth, amen? Boneless chicken. I'd never seen a chicken without bones before. Funny, that's the only thing I remember of that date. But they said, would you like boneless chicken? There's no bones? That was the first time. That's how long ago it was. First time I've ever seen boneless chicken. But anyways, that was my first date. I didn't know whether she liked me or not. She never said anything the whole night. You know, but but apparently she did, because here she is. I went for it. I went after it. Amen? You want to get somewhere, you got to go for it. Can't sit around. Get off your duff. That's one of the things, one of the ways we could say this. But the clear meaning of the phrase here means to follow after. For 400 years, Israel followed the taskmasters of Egypt. As slaves, they went and did what their masters told them to do. But as children of God, for the last 40 years, they've been following God's presence in the wilderness. Now Joshua says, when the ark moves, you move. You wait on God, do your waiting, but when he moves, you move. We can get good at waiting. We can get so good at waiting that we don't do anything else but wait. But when the ark moves. Now it says, it's interesting that they said, he says, don't run, first of all, say, don't run ahead of God. When the ark moves, you don't say, oh, I'm zoom, gone, and go ahead. Don't lag behind. And some would say, well, it's the priest's job, let's let them do it. No, it's all of us, all required to go after it. But the presence of the Lord, don't forget, was in the Ark of the Covenant. The law of God, the commandments, was in the Ark of the Covenant. The law, that thing which separated our people from all the peoples of the world. We had the law of God. And so there was the law of God, there was the presence of God and the law of God, and there it was, the Ark of the Covenant. And so we went after as the people of the law, as the people of covenant. When they got up and they went after it. They measured 2,000 cubits, it says here. I looked that up. That's 915 meters. In my poor translation from the Imperial to metric, I think of what's a thousand meters is a kilometer, right? So almost a kilometer. Was I wrong? All right. Okay. The teacher, homeschool teacher, says it's a kilometer. So anyways, 1,000 meters is a kilometer, right? So you have this distance between the ark and the people, and we say, well, why do you want to keep the distance? And he makes it clear so that we can all see it. You know, because it's important, he says, that all of Israel, as they cross over Jordan, that they all be able to see the Ark of the Covenant, that they have their eyes on the presence of God. And so don't crowd it, don't get in the way of it. Let somebody else see it, you know. Ever been at a parade and the people are always hogging the front line, you know, or, I don't know, some kind of game, you know, and you can't see it, especially if you're short like Chelsea is there. You've probably never seen a parade in your whole life till somebody puts you up on your shoulder, right? You know, I mean, you don't see it because you're somebody let me get a look at it. Well, he says, stay back. Not because I want to keep you away from my presence, but because this is for everybody. This isn't just for you. And we got to get that in our heads, friends. This is for everybody. This isn't just for you. You know, what God has promised for this nation, what God has promised for this church, what God has promised, it ain't just for you. It's for you, but it ain't just for you. So let somebody else have a look. Amen? And so, the last thing that I want to say is enter into. Well, it comes a point in time where you have to take a step of faith. Right? In fact, it's interesting how that the way that this was. These boys and girls, they remember the stories if they were not there. Of course, Caleb and Joshua were the only two that survived the 40 years in the wilderness, the generation that died in the wilderness. But everybody remembers how it was when Moses was the boss, right? Now Joshua is the boss. Moses was the leader back then. Now Joshua is the leader. Moses led us through what sea? The Red Sea, right? Moses put out his rod, and the Red Sea parted. God parted the sea, and they walked upon dry land. This time, you got to get your feet wet. This time, the priests, they came out, and he says, and when your feet get in the water, when the soles of your feet get wet, then I'm going to do it. And that's what happened, of course. There comes a time when God says, enter in. There comes a time when God is saying to you, okay, you've waited. You see the presence. You see me moving. There I am. I'm on the move. Enter in. Get your feet wet. Are you tired of wandering? You'd think that after 40 years, they'd be pretty much sick and tired of the wilderness. Are you tired of wandering? In your life, are you hungry for a change? Are you tired of the way things have been? Do you want something better? Are you ready to have what God has for you, which is so much better? Are you tired of camping? Yeah, for a weekend, all summer. Now it gets wind. Now it's 18 below outside this morning when I left the house in Lanark County. There gets a time when are you tired of the way it was, and you want to move on to something better? I mean, it was good in the desert. God showed up. There was manna. There was. God provided water. God provided everything they needed. It was good times. There was good times. But it's time to enter into something better. You say, well, I got used to that dusty, crooked road that I'm on. I've been used to the hard living. I've been used to the hard life. You know, I just think I'll just stick with that. And maybe, well, I've never been this way before. You know, when they wandered around the desert, they wandered around the desert. They had seen the same things again. They had been on the same roads again. And here they are looking at taking a different road. And some might say, you know, I'm scared of that road because I've never been on that road. I'll just stick to my hard times. I'll stick to the beaten up lifestyle. I'll just stick to what I'm going through because I'm used to what I'm going through. But I'm a little scared of this road because I've never been there before. The Lord says, I want to take you in. The reason why you've never passed over before is because you weren't ready. You had to get beat up. You had to get fed up. You had to get tired out. So that someday when you were ready, you could look to what God had promised you and you would say, I'm going for it. I'm ready. I'm not afraid of the unknown because if the Lord can keep me alive in the wilderness, He can surely take care of me in the land of His promise. God says, what is over there is a lot better than what you've had over here. Jesus echoed this invitation when He said, come unto me, all of you who are tired and worn out, and I will give you rest for your souls. So let me ask again the question. Have you seriously waited on the Lord for what's next in your life? Are you ready for what's next? Are you keeping your eyes on God's presence and God's law as you go over and go for it? Are you waiting on Him to move before you move? Or are you just going to go ahead and move without Him? Are you willing to take a step of faith to enter in? Are you willing to get your feet, your nice, nice shoes, all muddy and wet by taking that step of faith? Joshua told the priests, it won't happen until you take the step. God will reward your step of faith, but somebody has got to get their feet wet. There's got to be a better life. There's got to be a better way. Don't stay in the wilderness. Robert Wubbs in the hospital there, that's him in the hospital bed. He got a tattoo. Now, I'm not preaching on tattoos, but it was pretty marred. I couldn't quite read it. You know, it was. He had a tattoo that he got since he came down with cancer, and so I couldn't quite read the thing, so wrote it out. That's his hand there. It is not a fear of death that haunts my sleep, but the fear of a life that had no meaning. That's what he got tattooed on his backside. And I couldn't quite read it because it's in script, and it's all kind of weird, preacher looking, trying to read your backside. But anyways, so he wrote it out for me. And I'm thinking, you know, friends, there's a message for us today. It is not death. It's not that part of the journey. It's not entering. And even if that journey takes me to death. I've been waiting for it for 53 years, but I'm not really waiting for death. I'm waiting for what's beyond. Hallelujah. And that's just comes as part of it. But what really is scary is just staying in the wilderness and never doing anything. I'm not afraid of crossing over, Jordan. Are you? I'm afraid of wasting all my... I'm afraid of people that waste their whole lives on this side of Jordan. It's not the fear of death that haunts my sleep, but a fear of a life that had no meaning. God has a plan for each one of us today. God has a plan that's brought you to this place. Why are you at this point in your life today? What is there that's beyond this? What does He have that's more for you beyond this? What is it that He has that's promised in His Word? Well, you have to get in the Word and find out what it is, number one. Don't depend on 1-800-DIAL-A-PROPHET. All right? They're nuts. So get in here, find out what it says in here, and the Spirit of God will speak to you and bring it out as to what it is that God wants for you that's right over there. Individually, as a family, as a church, and as a nation of Canada. Wait for it. Go after it. And enter into it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Yeah, Lord, it's been a hard week. But here we are. You brought us to this point. And I know, Lord, that if you brought us to this point, that you've got good things in store for your people. I know, Father God, that whatever we've been through some hard things in our life, we've been through some tough stuff, that's okay. So long as we move on from it. So long as we leave it in the wilderness and move on to the promised land. help everyone that is here under the sound of my voice today be able to wait for it, go for it, and enter into what God has for them. Father, I pray, Lord, for this church. There have been prophetic words and other words brought about this church. We take that seriously. We always want to take your word seriously, however it comes to us. But Father, we don't want to stay in one place. We don't want to just, even though it's been good and even though you've provided for us, Lord, we want to enter into where it is that you want us to go from here. So, Father God, we pray that you would minister by your Holy Spirit to us today, that we may be sanctified and prepared, ready to go, and then, yes, Lord, to enter into the things that God has wanted. There are different people here today. There are different parts of this particular journey. There are some here today that the Spirit of the Lord is saying, you've got to wait. I got preparation for you. I want you to fast and pray. I want you to let go of some of the things that are in your life. I want you to let go of the TV. I want you to let go of the internet even. I want you to let go of whatever it may be for a while, because I want you to focus. I want you to get ready, because something good is coming to you. Something good is coming to your family. Something good is coming to your church, your neighborhood. Father God, I pray you would help that one, each one of us here that is in that place, Lord, to wait on you. And Lord, I pray, Father, for those that are seeing God move, who are seeing the Lord saying, it's time to go to this part of my promise. Lord, when they see the Lord move, Lord, I pray you give us the courage, the strength to get up, to leave the wilderness, to take the step of faith, to get out of there and get into something that God has called you to. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Just to give a benediction as we leave this morning, may His grace and His peace and His love, may it go with you, may it cover you, may it fill you, may He restore your soul this morning. Go in peace. Amen.